Lars, how are you?
Tony, good morning. I'm doing great. How about you?
I thought about you the other day. A good friend of mine, Steve Hunt, has been out bow hunting, trying to get him get himself a deer or two. He's had his kids out there, and I know you enjoy getting out, enjoying nature, and doing a little hunting yourself.
I love those guys who go out and throw sticks. I tend to go stick to modern rifle right now. I'm not good enough with my bow to be able to go archery hunting, but I got my buck this last weekend, and I was pretty happy.
Well, congratulations to you. Brag about how many points was it?
I was a 4x3, and it's a good-sized mule deer, although it had a little bit of whitetail in it. You could tell just by the horns. And so I got it to 513 yards, and that's the longest shot I've ever made.
All right. I hope to taste some of the jerky from that fine deer. There's a few things I want to talk to you about. We've been talking about education, economics here, especially in the state of Michigan. We've had a lot of challenges. As a matter of fact, the new incoming governor and the new legislation is going to face a budget deficit of $1.6 billion. And there's interesting issues that come up. Number one, funding pre-K education as well as education as a whole. Number two, this business tax that we have here, which a lot of people are screaming about. And number three, how we deal with China and how we see China. And what I've learned about all these conversations that we've had, Lars, is that it's a competitive world. We need to do whatever we can to make our state competitive. But as opposed to thinking that China is the devil, we better learn the game and learn how to play with them. And I wanted to get your take on China and how we should be dealing with them.
The way we should deal with them is the way America's always dealt with things successfully, and that is competition. And for us, and I hear people who call the show every night who say, I want to put up barriers so that China isn't allowed to sell into our markets. The fact is, America's always thrived with competition. We've never been afraid of competing with people. And I know there are going to be people listening saying, but they have lower wage rates. That's right. There are always going to be natural advantages one place or another, whether it's resources, labor rates, or things like that. You can't much control that, and frankly, I don't want to drive American wage rates down to meet China, and it's going to be a long time before China comes up to meet us. But trying to ignore them and say, well, we'll just pretend that they aren't making the same kinds of goods we are and selling them into the same markets, or trying to make laws that forbid them to sell, that's never worked. In fact, they tried it during the Depression. It was called the Smoot-Hawley Act, and it was an economic disaster for America because the minute you try to punish a giant like China by saying, we're not going to buy your stuff, then they say, well, then we're not buying your stuff either. And about 12% of America's economy is exports. And it frankly ought to be higher. And it could be. And Michigan could be supplying an awful lot of what gets exported to China and to the rest of the world. But we need to change a few things. One is regulations that the government passes down that makes it hard for us to compete. The second one is taxes. And you mentioned taxes there in your state. If you add more and more taxes on top of those products, it just makes them harder and harder to sell. So that's the last direction you want to go.
Well, Lars, it seems like there are some challenges with dealing with China, but you can overcome them. Number one, you just can't go in there and shake a hand and do the deal. You really have to take the time to create an environment for trust, and sometimes that can take years. I also hear people saying, well, you can't do business with them because they don't treat their workers correctly. Well, I contend if you start doing business and do build trust, at least that builds a platform for you to be able to go in there and talk to them about how they treat humans.
Well, let me give you an example that comes back the other direction. You could say, the people from Europe could say, you don't treat your American workers right either, because here in Europe, we give everybody 6 weeks off and we all basically go to the beach in August. Well, America doesn't get that. Does that mean our workers are treated unfairly? I think the way that workers are treated in each country is a piece of business for that country. I would hate to have Sweden or France or Germany coming to America saying, here's how you ought to treat your workers, and if you don't treat your workers the way we treat our workers, then we're not buying your things. I don't see that as a viable way to go. It's easy for us to sit back and say China doesn't do right by its workers. But don't you think the same accusation could be leveled at us?
Well, Lars, I recently got into a debate with someone who strongly believes that manufacturing is dead, let it go. My contention was we don't want to end up like England, which thought that they could survive with a service industry. My thought is, well, maybe we don't have to compete in China and everything that they manufacture. It would seem beyond automobiles, we can build and make things better here in America.
We can. And here's the thing you have to remember. Americans have always been the best innovators on the planet. You think about where most of the big inventions have been made. Now, they may end up manufacturing light bulbs in China, but the light bulb was invented here. An awful lot of the things that we take for granted today were invented in America. And we've always been able to find a way to make a better mousetrap. All we need to do is keep doing that and keep competing on that basis instead of striving for the bottom by saying, well, we want all the jobs assembling ceiling fans. China can have those jobs. What we need are the jobs where you figure out a better way to build something, and then you get the whole world saying, well, if you want to buy the best, you better buy America. I think we've forgotten about branding us and branding America. Most of the world thinks a lot of America. You can talk to their leaders, and their leaders are envious, and their leaders are jealous. But if you talk to the people around the world, you tell me, when people travel, what do they hear from folks? We love America. We'd love to move to America. Well, why in the world would we want to make it a place that says, we can't compete? What would you tell your kid if he came home from basketball practice and said, I'm sorry, we can't compete. We need a rule that says the other team can't play hard against us. That's never been America's style.
Well, Lars, that all sounds fine and dandy, but here in Michigan, just like you talk about nationally, we have these politicians making these rules and these laws that really hinder us, and it's so frustrating that they don't get it, that these deals that help them and their districts are more important than looking at the overall big picture.
You're right, Tony. And listen, there's a new set of EPA rules that are being pushed by the Obama administration. They will have never seen Congress because the EPA will make them up as an agency instead of Congress, which means your congressmen have never had a chance to vote on them. And they, the conservative think tanks that I believe say those EPA rules, which are not necessary at this point, will kill 800,000 American jobs. Those are the kinds of things we can change that don't cost a dime to change. Say, let's hold those rules up. Maybe there will be a time when we can afford to go to those. But right now, let's stick with the current rules we've got, and let's not kill those 800,000 jobs.
Lars Larson will be on our radio station tonight at 7 o'clock. You can hear him every weeknight from 7 to 10. Lars, what are you going to be talking about tonight?
Tony, we're going to have to talk about what the president is saying about the chamber, U.S. Chamber of Commerce, criticizing them about taking money from foreign countries, but they're not spending it on American elections. We're going to talk about the president's new infrastructure plan, meaning more and higher taxes to have more government jobs instead of more private sector jobs. That's just the start of it for tonight.
All right. Thanks so much, Lars. Talk to you soon.
It's always a pleasure, Tony.